That Great Business Show. Winner, highly commended award, Irish Podcast Awards.
Welcome to episode 182 of That Great Business Show, home of great business tips, insights, and opportunities on every episode, delivered in our commute-friendly package. Unlock the full potential of your business with Mentors Work, Ireland's award-winning, fully government-funded mentoring program designed to fuel the growth of your business, no matter the sector or size. Mentors Work will help transform your business by providing tailored guidance through one-on-one mentoring sessions, upskilling workshops, as well as networking opportunities. Together with your mentor, you'll also craft a customized six-month business plan to propel your business forward. Tried and tested, and already empowering over 3,000 Irish businesses, register for free today on mentorswork.ie. I'm Conal O'Moran, Foltistiach. On this episode, with brilliant company names like Burpees, Polybow even, and Spreadit, what's not to love about AgTech? We have two award-winning AgTech companies with us because there's a massive world market waiting for your brilliant AgTech invention. It's quite fascinating, some of the ideas that people in the sector think up. And if you missed it, don't forget to listen back to the brilliant, brilliant Ashley McDonnell of global perfume company Pooj on episode 181, who told us what her marketing software favourites are and how they can work for you.
De facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
AgTech UCD, part of Nova UCD at University College Dublin, is a 12-week intensive, wait for it, AgCelerator program to fast-track AgTech, agri-food, equine, and veterinary sector startups and bring them onto the world stage. They've just announced their third annual award winners, which are Cork-based Mooncyst and Limerick-based Pitseal. Mooncyst is an indigestible Fitbit for cows, but of course, and Pitseal uses seaweed and some other fancy stuff to replace the plastic normally covering silage pits. We know plastic is not good for the environment, and you may also have read that cows eating seaweed do not emit as much methane, to put it politely, so we can chalk that down as a win-win. Joining me now on That Great Business Show are Pitseal founder and PhD candidate, Marion Cantillon, PJ Maguire, head of sales at Mooncyst, and also Gary Ryan, director of AgTech UCD. Welcome all to That Great Business Show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Conal.
Thank
you. God, you're not exactly an enthusiastic bunch, are you? It is, as we record, a miserable day in Dublin, but we'll get over it. Marion, let me start with you. You are a winner. What have you won for?
So I won the FBD, Great Innovator in the AgTech Accelerator, which was amazing. And it was a 10 grand cash prize, which has been absolutely incredible for the business.
Oh, I thought you had already spent it, not for the business, but for somebody else. We're in Dundrum Shopping Centre, for anybody wants to know. Sales have gone through the roof recently.
It's very tempting, but no, it's going into the business wallet, and it'll be great use to us for further development of the team and the product.
And the product is?
So we are replacing plastic on silage pits. I developed it during my master's in UCC and commercialised it through the AgTech programme.
And it is a spray-on, is it?
Exactly. So spray-on solution, reducing the labour force and the time spent covering pits for any farmer.
And I said earlier, what people think up. Where were you when you thought this up?
On a farm.
Well, a good place to be.
Yeah.
But did you sit there and say, do you know what, if I sprayed this with seaweed, this is going to change the world?
I don't think it was that much of a light bulb moment. I was in the midst of doing it with my uncles and I remember thinking, this is painful. Never again. I lost about two nails and I was covered in absolute muck and dirt. And any woman will know that that's the last thing they want to be. So I knew it had to change. And
so for non-farmers, tell them what it is at the moment to cover the silage pit with plastic. What happens?
So the grass gets brought into farm, it gets piled up on the farmyard, and it gets packed down with tractors. And then there's a big, massive sheet of plastic sheeting. It's huge. And it usually takes about a team of three or four. So your mum, dad, uncles, brothers, all have hands on deck, and each grab a corner and go up on top of the pit and try and situate it down, and then put tyres up on top of it to weigh it down. But the job isn't complete, because during the winter, when there's high wind or rain, especially if you're coastal, that plastic will lift up and expose the silage underneath, which is detrimental to the silage. So you have to go back up on the pit again and redo the exact same job that you did 3 or 4 months previous.
And I presume every time that you take out some silage, it's the same problem.
Well, it hasn't siled after the 8 months. So farmers won't go at silage until winter time, and that's when it's ensiled. But it's that 8 month period you have to keep it covered and siled up.
A new verb for me, to sile. Is that that's what the thing is?
I think that's my own verb, but yeah, I'm no English major.
And what are you doing now? You are going to get your seaweed and your other secret. Is it top secret, or have you got IP on this
stuff? I have IP on it. So yeah, it's top secret. Top secret sauce. I think there's about two of us that know, and that's it. We don't go anywhere together, because God forbid. But yeah.
And then you will start spraying. Now, when will we see the spray? When will you start spraying? As in, when will the product be seen? Is it there now?
Yeah, on our test farm. So we've already sealed the silage pits for this season, I guess.
And looking okay?
Or? Looking okay, but it's early days yet, too. It's very early.
What's the concern? What could happen? That wasps or bees or somebody might eat your seaweed? Or?
No, it's actually, we're okay with all sorts of rodents, wasps, bees, foxes, hounds, anything that you got, we're okay with that. It's actually the extreme heat and extreme frost and freeze and long periods of that. It's very hard to test it in Irish weather, because we're very, we have a nice climate here, and we don't get those extremes that, let's say, the other half of the world would get. So it's trying to do that. That's be the only adjustment to the film, I guess, and the only change.
And PJ,
films.
I promise we will get to you in a second, but I have to continue this. I want to continue this interrogation, because what we look at business as business people. And one of the issues for me is when you are taking in the silage, it's a very, very brief period. Isn't that right? 2 weeks.
Correct. Yeah.
Now, there's another 50 weeks in the year. What are you going to do for the rest of the year?
Well, that's a brilliant idea, because Australia and New Zealand have opposite season to us. So while I'm busy in predominantly Europe space, I can always flip the coin and go down towards
Australia
and New Zealand, 100%. Yeah.
So wherever silage is being cut,
we go.
You go.
Exactly, yeah.
And nobody's doing anything like this at the moment?
Not a spray edible film, no.
And did you tell me that your dad has created the sprayer as well?
Well, dad's my handyman, so I'm probably more of a scientist in the team.
Could you not have gone down to your local Woody's or your Lidl or something and bought one of those sprayer jobbies, no?
I'm pretty sure now it's a high-tech job, and I wanted it done exactly how I wanted it. And it was during COVID, so I didn't have access to my labs or anything that I would have access to. So we created our own one at home, and thankfully dad is very good with his hands. And I think any daughter will know daddy, once there's problems, they go to daddy. So daddy did build me my first applicator, and it's been working a dream ever since. And we're in the midst of doing application number two.
I hope he has a cut of the action as well.
Yeah, he's getting paid right well in tea and biscuits. The tea breaks are right good.
Okay, you've won your prize. Now funding might be the next thing. Are you funding?
Yeah, so at the moment we've been very fortunate. We've won a lot of competitions, which has allowed us to get to the development we've got today.
Which presumably means that you're doing something that people really, really want.
Yes, hopefully, or else we're maybe just a bit naive in our own little world. So we've been able to bootstrap it from the get-go and use competition funds to get us to where we are now. We're just back from the Web Summit, and we'd have some fantastic connections with angels and VCs. So there's really nice discussions around that. And yeah, we're in the...
Can you give me some names?
I can't do that now. That's as bad as the secret sauce. It's all up tights at the moment, but we're having some fantastic discussions and fantastic conversations.
Is it a worldwide problem?
Yes.
That is really interesting. Yeah. You could make a difference to the planet.
Well, that's the dream.
And when did that dream start? I mean, besides sitting when you were dragging the plastic around, go back any further years. What were you thinking big at those days? Your PhD is in?
Mitigating emissions from livestock. So it's on the climate side of the stuff and trying to make it financially feasible. So make it easier for the farmer to afford mitigating.
And if it all works to plan, and the seaweed is on top of the cut grass, and they start eating the cut grass, you're hoping that it'll all work its way through.
Exactly.
To date, you must have some some records or some results from the cows having eaten your product?
Yeah, and it's come back very positive, but I can't disclose the exact figure because it's hard to replicate on all farms. That's a very academic response.
Come on a second now. I mean, are we talking about 60 or 80 or 100 or 120% or, I mean, is it a big number?
Yeah, it's a big significance. Yeah. And it'd be really, really game changing if we can get it, because I think there's a lot of research even being done in feed additives to date. And it's fantastic what's being done on an academic side. So it's trying to get it down onto farm level and trying to get that impact on ground. But yeah, in literature, it's been fantastic to see
and
those results come through.
How much more research have you got to do to actually complete all of the piece of information that you need?
Yeah, 8 months.
Another 8 months.
Yeah.
And that's in Ireland. Now, what about the heats and the extremes of Australia?
Yeah, that's
45 degrees.
Yeah.
50 degrees, actually, because my daughter's down there and I think she told me you can get up to 50. Handy.
Yeah, I'm a scientist by trade, so that actually excites me so much because that's where you get the fun stuff when you're dealing with extremities, when you're dealing with real high heat or real heavy frost. So if you go up to Iceland, anywhere up there, kind of real cold, and then really, really hot. So it's just a reformulation or it might be new additives. I don't know. It's going to be exciting though. And that's
and the
fun.
States calls as well. I mean, Wisconsin, am I right? And saying that's cattle country.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
And that goes down to minus 40 or something wild.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a cousin over there as well who is on a cattle farm.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It's mental and it's so exciting and I love that part of it because that's the experimental part and that's where the fun begins.
Well, what is the dream in terms of the company itself? Like, you know, you're two people now, are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When will you be 200 or 2,000 or 220,000?
Give me probably 6-7 years. The dream obviously is to go global because this problem is in every farm that is doing silage.
And if I remember correctly, the chat we had on the phone, you told me that you're making the product, mm-hmm. but you're not going to go spraying.
No, at the moment, no, that's not how. Yeah, so I make the product and then we have contractors rolled in that use the applicator. They're already trained up on it and they'll spray the pits for us.
So I presume looking forward, in theory, you will have contractors all over the world.
Exactly.
And you will be shipping your product, your secret sauce, to be made where?
So we have interest from 3 global manufacturers at the moment. We haven't decided which one yet. We're going to...
You're not going to make it in Ireland?
We can, but it won't service the demand that we'll have.
It means that if you're servicing the States, you're not going to ship it here over to the States, that kind of thing.
Well, just logically positioning ourselves would be better to maybe do it in mainland Europe in terms of if we're catering for the other silage seasons.
Okay, that's where it begins.
Yeah.
You've got, I'm telling you, people can't see her. She's got plans and she's onto something and we'll report back in a week or two when I finally find out what it's all about. But this gives me a chance now to go to PJ Maguire of Mooncyst. PJ, what does Mooncyst do?
I have to follow all that now.
Yes, I do.
Well, look, you hit the nail on the head with the introduction there.
Do you know why? Because you told me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm planting my seed everywhere. Yeah, Marion's heard that enough during the programme as well. The ingestible Fitbit for cows. That's the interesting one. That's what grabs people. But
well, tell the world again, non-farmers, what is it doing? And tell me the wonderful world of, what did you tell me, the fourth ruminant or the fourth something?
Well, a cow has 4 chambers. I know a lot of people might know that from their secondary school days of ag science, but I suppose the one that people don't pay a lot of attention to is the reticulum.
That's the one.
And back in the olden days, years, thousands and thousands of years ago, the reticulum held an awful lot more than it did today when cows are out in the wild eating rocks and sticks and anything they couldn't digest. So as a result, commercialization of agriculture, it's shrunk in size, but it can still fit our bolus, which sits in that undigestible material.
Now, hang on a second. We'll get to the bolus in a second because you're telling me, whether you're winding me up or not, how much product of indigestible stuff can go into that reticulum?
Well, I got this from my colleague, Des, who did the research in the background of it. Now, I'm landing a minute, so Des, if you're listening. But it was Des that did the research on it before. 25 litres is the reticulum.
That's huge.
Yeah, huge. Yeah, well, the cow's pretty big itself, so.
Yeah, but that's not going anywhere, you told me. Just sits there.
Even when it goes to the factory, that's classified as undigestible waste, basically, because that holds everything. And today's farm, it's pieces of fence, it's tire wires, it's rubber, it's anything that gets caught in the paddocks.
It won't be plastic anymore.
No, sir.
No, I don't think so. Not with me around anyway.
We're curing everything.
So now get back to your bolus. The bolus is a little, it's not a, it's a big pellet.
Yeah, it's a small cylindrical sensor.
5 inches long, is that what you're
talking about? Yeah, 5 inches long by about 30 mil in diameter. Yeah, yeah.
10 centimeters.
My father's a carpenter, so I'm still old school. So, it's about 5 inches in length, and it's got a thermometer and an accelerometer in it, which basically means it's measuring temperature and activity of the animal constantly on a 24/7 basis to tell you what's going wrong, basically. Where is it going above or below the average thresholds? And based on the farming activities, whether that cow is breeding in estrus, whether that cow is going to give a calf down or calve down, as the farmers say, or whether that farm is just, or cow is developing a fever, be it high or low, the farmer just gets a message straight to the phone.
Now, we're going to have to take a break because I want to hold it there just to give me an idea of one of the farms in Rwanda that you're dealing with. How big
is
it?
Yeah, you like this one. I said this one to you. Yeah, so it's about 6,000 odd cattle.
It's gone from 4 to 6.
Yeah, it's spread across a large flat of land. But yeah, look, it's early days with that, but it's just a very interesting one to see different systems.
It's very interesting. Oh, we'll get back to it in a second, but we'll take a quick break now.
That great business show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
That great business show. Winner, highly commended award. Irish Podcast Awards.
And I am back on That Great Business Show with Marion Cantillon, PJ Maguire, and we will be getting, I promise, to Gary Ryan, who is Director of AgTech UCD, in a minute. But first of all, we're back to Rwanda, 6,000 cattle, because your bolus, which is called, what is it called? Mooncyst.
Mooncyst. It's not Rumen Bolus, but the company is Mooncyst.
It's got worldwide application. It could be ginormous.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The demand
down
there
in Rwanda, how did you come across that crowd?
They came to us.
Why?
They are putting a massive amount of funding towards their agricultural sector, which is going on everywhere, a lot in Africa, especially Algeria is another one.
And when you say they, is that government or is
it government,
private?
Yeah. The government are going behind it a lot, with a lot of big insurance companies as well are backing this. And the reason Rwanda actually reached out was because they had a lot of tick-borne illnesses, which can cause the animal to just, from the point of infection to mortality in a matter of days. So they're trying to capture that. And as it stands at the moment, they can't. And it's causing massive trouble up over there.
And what can your bolus do?
Well, it's an infection. So first and foremost, that's our major thing in health, is we alert the farmer on a high temperature. So high rumen temperature, straight to the phone. The bolus reads off a piece of infrastructure that's generally on top of the farmer's shed, and that goes straight in to the farmer's phone.
And how do they know which of their 6,000 cattle? It's all very well if you've got 5 cattle and it's Maisie and whatever.
Yeah. Well, look, it's very early days over there, so I can't even imagine what kind of management system they use there. But like in Ireland, for example, they go off of basic ear tag number 1412. Has a high temperature, and that's exactly how it gets sent to the farmer.
And that is the feed, is it? Yeah, that's what's fed to it.
That's what's fed, yeah. So you take the farmer's information or data, you feed it into our system so we know what to identify that cow with, so that we can associate the bolus with the cow, and then we can send that farmer a link to say, cow 1412 has a high temperature.
Now, I'm guessing, because I didn't ask Marion the question about whether there's anybody else doing anything similar, but I guess not. No, she's nodding no to me. Do you not know, or do you shake your head no? Anyway, but your bolus, there must be other people doing it, because I've seen these fellas with their little necklaces
collars
and all the rest.
Yeah, the cattle are all blinged up these days. Yeah. Yeah, there is, for sure. Look, the IP for boluses has been around since the 90s. The technology wasn't there. We didn't have our smartphones back in the 90s. So the technology's always been around, but it's only been viable in the last 10 or so years. There's two main players in the field. There's us and there's a crowd out in Austria who also do bolus technology.
Really? Two in the world?
Two in the world that have gotten it to market. Two that are actually selling it commercially across the globe.
And getting it to market, what is the big problem?
Well, I mean, the bolus itself, the company Moonsys was developed probably about 7 years ago when one of our founders, Peter, was developing it out in Budapest. There's a lot of work goes into it. Like, you know, it looks very simple when you look at it, but the weight, the science behind it, surviving a hostile environment like the... It's like hell.
The reticulum. It's called the reticulum.
The reticulum, yeah, yeah, the reticulum.
And there's 25 litres of other stuff in there. And it's not nice.
Oh, it's not nice. No, no, you can only imagine. So there's a lot of testing and development goes into actually creating a product that works in the stomach that sends a message to your phone, you know.
And how long does it last? I mean, is it, what power is it?
Our one has been tested to last an awful long time, 10 plus years. But obviously, conservatively, we would say about 6 years, which covers the Irish farmer. Generally, and they would last about 4 or 5 years on farm.
This is the cattle do.
Yeah.
And what happens when the cow is slaughtered? Do you take it out?
The bolus goes. No. I've been asked that question about by a couple of farmers if they can drop down to the factory. But yeah. Chancers, I think. But no. It, once it's gone, it goes. And whenever you get your replacement stock
in. It's like Homestore. Well, once it's gone, it's gone.
That's it. Which... That's one of the questions the farmers often ask, you know, versus the collars and the necklace that you spoke about. The difference is the information you're getting. You're inside the animal here, so it's second to none. When you're inside, you can't lie. So that's why we can tell you things are happening
you're
before they do.
You're saying that the fellas with the necklaces are lying.
No, they're definitely not. No, they're great at what they do, and they're there, and they've been around a lot longer.
Me to the High Court, I tell you.
Yeah, can we cut that out?
Now, I'll be getting to Gary, as I say, because one of the questions I'm sure you were asked to win your prize was the total addressable market. How big is it? It must be, how many cattle are there in the world?
Well, look,
millions.
You're talking about 1.3 billion.
Billion.
Beef. You're talking well in excess of 300 million dairy.
And well, does your bolus do both?
Oh, both. Yeah. We cover both. Yeah. It seems to be a big market for the dairy because the dairy cows are prone to a lot of disease.
Okay.
Versus the beef cattle, which tend to just wander the land and not be suffered by as many diseases.
And if you manage to get lift off, and you will, I'm sure, you need funding. Have you got funding in place?
We do. I mean, look, we've had great help with Enterprise Ireland. Obviously, it was lovely to win the award as well. That's gone towards more inventory. But
with EI, you have to have matching funding.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the main goal with any bootstrap startup is we'd like to not go for it. We'd like to say our sales are speaking for themselves. And at the moment, it's going well. Getting random inquiries across the globe is a big help. So, yeah, that's...
In some ways, I admire the kind of farming thinking is keep it to yourself, as in... Don't be giving away equity.
I would debate that's an Irish thing more than anything. But for sure. Look, that's
the alternative is to go and raise a whole heap of cash and just go for it and go and take over the world.
That's the approach. I mean, for us, we like the organic approach versus the competitor. They've gone that route and they do a subscription on their piece and they were around for a long time before us. But we like the organic route at the moment. Ireland is going incredibly strong down in Cork and we like to branch out from there. The glory story is what we're aiming for.
So
you
what
know?
You're saying is you don't want money.
We'd like to earn it. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to go political.
Gary, they're two brilliant stories, aren't they?
Yeah, kind of. That was, and I've obviously heard both of those stories a few times before, but it's still very energizing to hear them.
I find you boring.
No, I think it's still very energizing to hear them both. And I suppose the takeaway out of both of them there again, just from your discussions with Marion and with PJ, I think, you know, the scalability is there because it's a globally applicable solution in both cases to places where there are similar farming practices, be around grass-based production primarily. So the scalability. Then there's the challenge bit as well. You know, like PJ mentioned, I think 7 years with the company, Marion talking there about the 8 months even in a cycle. The farming calendar, that cycle does make development challenging because you've got to put it through the year. It's not... because of the different conditions during the year. So that's the challenge. But there are very scalable solutions in Ireland based on that grass-based production. So that gives me great hope, not just for the two companies represented here, but the other, I think we had eight in total in this year's accelerator program. We've dealt with 27 over 3 years and hopefully more to come. There's some great projects out there. A lot of them are around sustainability because that's underpinning everything in agriculture at the moment. And clearly the grass-based system, which has stood to us for a long time in Ireland, and which will always be the foundation of our agriculture. Look, there are some things there around methane and emissions now, but I think, like everything to do with Irish farming over the years, look, we're not, the challenges have always been there. We'll turn those challenges into opportunities, the key thing. And this is a very good example. These two in front of us here, very good example of that sort of thinking.
Was that your use of the word ag-celerator?
Yeah, ag-celerator. So we're AgTech UCD, so we're part of Nova UCD, which is the kind of, I suppose, the, part of research and innovation within UCD, tasked around commercialization of startups, and in the Nova case, maybe a lot of spin-outs from university research. We're the AgTech part, so everything to do with the AgTech part of that. We would be dealing with more spin-ins, companies like this that aren't coming from UCD research. There are a certain element of UCD sort of research-based things as well. But yeah, we're the ag part of it. So there's a lot of accelerator programs in the startup space. We're the only ag-specific accelerator.
So how far into ag must you be to get onto your ag-celerator? I keep saying it, ag-celerator, yeah. Just to keep you happy.
Oh no, look, as I say, we put a lot of effort. Well, my predecessor put a lot of effort into it, so we'll stick to the ag. In terms of how far into the accelerator, look,
how far are you spreading your net?
Yeah, we spread the net fairly widely. It is it's purely ag, something like Marion there, very, you know, silage, very much a primary process, but right through veterinary, equine, and we've even had a few kind of, I suppose, food type projects or maybe food industry projects. In fact, you had Fiona Keller from MyGog there at one stage.
Oh, and that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Fiona would have been a previous winner 12 yeah. months ago. And so they were obviously waste, energy coming from food waste. So I suppose it's a farm to fork. We're going from one end to the other in the whole, I suppose, supply chain around the ag food industry.
And what's demand to get onto the program like?
In the most recent offering of the program, which the lads here finished, which would have started in October of 23, we had our highest level of interest, over 50 applicants, of which a lot were actually international.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming from like where?
Mainly continental Europe. We had some from Britain as well. And in fairness, there's always been a little, I think some of those countries, they maybe look to Ireland as a little bit of a flagship for some of the ag thinking.
That's a nice way of being, isn't it?
Because, you know, we have a leadership space in agriculture, mm-hmm. in terms of primary agriculture. And I suppose what we're trying to do in AgTech UCD is develop on that in the ag tech bit. And it's not necessarily just tech. I take a very broad church approach to what ag tech is.
And are you accepting applications from Europe across and into the UK?
We'll probably run a roughly similar calendar. It'll probably be September, October again, kind of in the ag world. You kind of get to the far side of the harvest to go again. But we will be looking at applications again towards the back end of the year.
Another dozen, or can you take more?
I think the experience would have suggested that kind of less than 12 is optimum. The 8 is probably actually a good number, 8 to 10, because this program initiated during COVID. So obviously it was very much an online, remote effort. It was more of a hybrid for the cohort that just finished, and we'll probably be moving to more in-person. The more in-person you are, I guess, the more the kind of team working becomes part of the smaller groups.
Well, let me throw it open so and find out exactly what you guys got out of the program. Marion, what did you learn? Like, you're almost Dr. Marion.
Almost.
How could anybody teach you?
Oh, it's fantastic. And I think PJ will agree with me. I think the guys in AgTech UCD, both Leo and the team, they really take a hands-on approach into your business and really...
What did you learn?
Learned how to approach funding, learned how to deal with investors, learned how to actually do a full market evaluation, learned how to approach customers.
How kind not of the to answer end. Questions about the IP.
Yes, exactly. How to be very diplomatic in what you say, how to be very political. But I do think it's fantastic to be able to get that learning. And as well, they have a nice structure to it that you're always learning from someone that has either been through the system or has had the same issues as you.
Mentors.
So it's
we
really
love
nice.
Mentors.
Yeah, but it's nice when the mentor has had the same issues you've had,
yeah,
you know,
course.
And has
yeah.
dealt with it. Because I think it's very easy to teach something from a book or from a course, but when you've actually experienced it, it's a different ball game, and that's the kind of exposure that you need as a startup to be able to see that's a fall up or that's an issue that I can see coming down the road. How do I tackle it and how do I get around it?
PJ, what did you learn from it?
Yeah, look, everything Marion said there plus more. Like, it's I mean, the first thing that it taught me was we had our business plan set out and it was there and it looked really nice. And then after a couple of sessions, we really needed to have a look at it again.
Did they give you a hard time?
No, not by any means. No. But it was just because it was so hands-on, like Marion said, it made you look at things in a lot more broader of a scale, yeah. Especially for the likes of us that we were looking to grow and expand in Europe, the States, down south in Australia. And it made us, look at it in a bit better of a, but also the people that came on as well, like they got some really good people to come on, like people around finance, marketing. We came in one day for the marketing day, which was brilliant. The final day was obviously a testament to it all. Like everybody came on, delivered an amazing pitch. Like it was great to be a part of it. And that was the whole idea as well for a lot of the companies to set for an investment. And what better way to do it than an entire panel full of people on a great day, like, you know.
And when you won, did you throw your mortarboard in the sky?
We got the big checks. So.
We got the massive checks.
So. And it was windy, so they were nearly gone.
What did you do with yours?
Huh? It was windy, so it was nearly gone. Des brought down and he did a full photo shoot with his young lad down in Kinsale. So.
Gary, does it cost to get onto this?
No, the program is delivered free of charge to the participants. I suppose, look, what we're trying to build, the AgTech UCD concept, is a relatively new concept. We're based out in the AgTech UCD Innovation Centre on Lions Farm.
Tell me about Ben Lions Farm, because what did you tell me about it? The world's largest man-made lake?
Yes, I'm told the Lions Estate, so beside us is the original Lions Estate, which Tony Ryan would have bought half of it from the university back, I think, in the 80s, I guess, and his family still lived there in Lyons House. But between the farm, the UCD research farm at Lyons Farm, and the house, there's what is apparently the biggest man-made lake in Europe. And I was sort of questioning how could that be the case when you know huge reservoirs. But it's man-made in the sense of dug with a shovel and a pick, whereas it was built about, I think, 1800 or something like that. Anything that's come since that might be man-made had the benefit of mechanization.
JC, yeah. OSB.
Yeah, this was the...
This
was real manpower.
Exactly. I mean, to dig, and as both you and I did discuss, like it was penny a day as well,
I think.
And you were just lucky to stay alive just by digging and digging and digging and digging.
So we're at the more, I suppose, and look, the spade is ag tech in some ways, but we're at a different end of the ag tech. So we're down there on the UCD farm, which is half the original estate, about 600 acres. We have a co-working space, private offices and a co-working space and lab space for startups in the ag tech space. And the accelerator program is the first program that's been up and running because they were able to get that up and running before the center was built. We're coming soon now. We will be recruiting very soon for a program called the Food and Sustainable Agriculture Innovation Program, which is benefit of Enterprise Ireland, ERDF funding. It's the Innovators Initiative, and that's a 12-month long program where we'll be looking for mid-career professionals to come and discover, I suppose, real-world needs through immersion in industry environments, create real-world solutions to those real-world problems, and eventually take that through to commercialization in a very intensive 12-month program. And keep an eye on our social media and our website. The applications for that will open soon.
Very good. Okay, because I want to make sure. Please come back and tell us about that. So I think that's just brilliant. And it's ideal. This is for people who probably have just had enough of work and they say, oh, I'm going to do it myself.
I think, that mid-career thinking is probably the people that they've reached that point. It's time for something different.
We call it the itch. There's the itch and you've got to scratch it.
Yeah. So we'd be hoping we'd be able to help them to scratch that in a positive way for agriculture.
Well, PJ can stick a bolus down.
When did they need the itch?
Listen, there is this final question, and I know I've told you all about it, so you better have an answer about hiring in a heartbeat. Marion, who would you hire in a heartbeat?
I think the two...
Oh, she did, thank God.
This is a very tough question and it was hard to pick two, but the two guys I'd definitely hire, I think they're both retired, so I'd have to bring them out of retirement, would be Ned Harty from Dairy Master. He's a fantastic Kerry lad. So I'm keeping it very close to home.
Ed Harty, I know him. He's
Ned,
a lovely...
No, the father. Both of them. I'm sure they're both fabulous men. But I think what he's done has been amazing and they've definitely been a catalyst for Irish agri. And then the other...
It's like accelerator.
Yeah, exactly. We're playing with all our words today. And then the other guy is Gregory Shine, isn't it, from Shine Agri. They're Limerick crowd.
Samshine.
I said, yeah. And but the dad, yeah, dad is Gregory, isn't it?
No, Sam.
Oh, yeah. God. Sorry, Sam.
That's okay.
But yeah, they'd be the two guys I think that I'd hire. I'd get them out of retirement and take them.
Sounds good to me.
Both of you guys. Dennis Brasnan in another Kerry.
Yeah, I'm keeping it very home, Kerry and Limerick. But
Dennis is listening, I am such a fan of that guy. He is one. Actually, Ed Hardy is another brilliant guy. Anyway, PJ.
Well, Marion kept us so close to home now. I clearly don't want to say mine. Yeah, I went too far. Like when I did my spill out in playing Aussie Rules, I worked in a gym and one of the guys who owned the gym and four others was a guy called Connor Pedersen. And I'd take him on in a heartbeat. He was phenomenal. Like even in the midst of the most competitive gym market in the world, debatable, he came up with something new to get members in every day. He was relentless.
And he's Connor Pedersen.
Pedersen, yeah, yeah.
Pedersen. P-E-T, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we better give Connor
I'd reach out to him in a heartbeat, but I don't think he'd swap the cows. He's out on the sunny beaches of North City, so.
Have a look at our social media when you hear this, and we will have photographs of PJ on. He's a big lad. So you're still, I don't know, maybe you've just
eaten. I have a few boluses in me now.
And finally, Gary Ryan, director. Who would you hire?
I suppose I'd be coming at it from a different space, maybe from the other two participants here. But I was thinking about this. For us in AgTech UCD, it's trying to build partnerships in the digital space because I see that having an awful lot to do around underpinning sustainability. And if you look at that kind of the tech world and the digital world, Bill Gates is somebody that comes to mind because obviously, look, the Microsoft technology all around us.
I just want the cash. Go away.
But he a huge investor in agriculture. One of the biggest individual shareholders in John Deere, which is obviously a large machinery manufacturer. And if you look at John Deere, American-owned predominantly agricultural machinery company, but would be identifying themselves now more, still very much a machinery company, but around information. And that is the future of agriculture. Like we go back to the Moonsys solution. It's around tracking data with Marion's. Okay, our solution maybe is closer to the animal, but the value of it is going to come down to the information. So I think, that digital space.
Do you know what Bill Gates was going to do that I haven't actually seen recently? Do you remember he was trying to invent the world's clean toilet? Or he was, he's put a lot of money in. I mean, like it's a massive problem.
Yeah.
Isn't it
all around environmental and sustainability? But and also one of the biggest private owners of farmland in the United States, Bill Gates, which shows you that agriculture is the space to be when the smart guys are getting into it.
Do you know who else owns a vast tract of US land? John Malone, the fellow who owns Liberty Media.
That's right, yeah.
And he owns a million acres or something. I often wonder, how do you measure a million acres? Do you go around and kind of step it out or something? Or I suppose when you own it and you know it.
The head of Ryanair has a farm about 15 minutes down the road
and
from
actually,
me.
Actually, Michael O'Leary was a name that crossed my own mind when I was thinking about this.
He's got a million acres though, has he?
No.
He has a fine herd of cattle, though.
He does,
And if you look even at Zuckerberg there, now I know it's a little, maybe it's a different project, but I saw something there a few months ago where he's getting into rearing Wagyu steak, I think, isn't it, in Hawaii. But when the smart guys are getting into something, it says, this food, all these people have to be fed.
You know what? I could spend the rest of the evening here with you guys. That's a lovely, lovely chat. And thanks so much for joining us on That Great Business Show. That is Marion Cantillon, PJ Maguire, August, finally, Gary Ryan. Griff, meet him all with Marion. Is he the great key?
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
It's all go, let Chrissy Gnow on thatgreatbusinessshow.com.
That great business show.
And that is it for episode 182 of That Great Business Show, Great Business Insights and Inspiration. You've just heard them. Regular listeners know that we're true believers in business mentors because that's what we were also talking about there. So do make sure to check out the mentorswork.ie website to unlock the full potential of your business. It's a fully government-funded mentoring program designed to fuel the growth of your business, no matter the sector or size. And do please also sign up for email updates and we will send you your own personal copy of the podcast at thatgreatbusinessshow.com. Do share, do like, and do give us 5-star reviews. It helps us hugely. Advertise with us. thatgreatbusinessshow.com will get us and you will be talking to the nicest bunch of entrepreneurs, business owners, business wannabes, business investors, farmers. Everybody listens to That Great Business Show, eh? And we record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where today's studio engineer is A for Alison, Alison O'Dwyer. Later, the dynamic duo of studio manager Peter Rice and post-production engineer Neil Horner ensure we remain the world's best-standing business podcast. So from me, Conall O'Moran, Brichos to you all of us, Slán tamall.